911, what's the nature of your emergency?
Your world can change in the blink of an eye.
He walked into the bedroom and you know that she had been murdered.
So he's running up and down, screaming, "Oh my God, someone call 911. There are two men killing a girl."
I know my son, and he would not go that long without saying anything to anyone.
Safety can be an illusion, and reality, a nightmare.
So how do you steal a person, a grown person?
Unspeakable crimes can penetrate any small town, big family, pretty face, or innocent child. And in the wake of a loved one's murder or disappearance, there is nothing more cruel or desperate as silence.
Why won't people talk about it? That's another thing. People don't want to talk about it around here.
For the families of the missing and murdered, they gambled with their sanity as they lose hope in closure and settle for justice. That's where the cold case playing cards come in. In each episode of the Dealing Justice podcast, your hosts Jennifer Dubasek and Lori Jennings will spotlight one card from the cold case playing card deck. Hear the victim's story from the friends and family who knew them best.
Her mom will never stop fighting until she finds out what happens to her daughter.
Learn about the crime and help close the case. Welcome to Season 2. We're not just playing cards, we're dealing justice.
Hey there, folks.
We can't laugh at ourselves.
Well, hey there, folks.
I was wondering if you'd catch on.
I knew that's what you were doing.
This is the Slay Queens podcast.
Slay Queens is a podcast dedicated to the discussion of true crimes that occur within the queer community.
This is a note to remember that the topics that we discuss can be very graphic and often lurid in nature. Listener discretion has been advised.
Hey folks, before we get started, Ashley and I just wanted to pop on and let everybody know that this episode has been edited by your podcast editor.
Yes, and if you have a podcast, you can contact him and receive two edited episodes totally free. You can find him on Instagram at yourpodcastedit. Save time, take your podcast to the next level.
I love it. We are back again.
We're back.
Hello, Ashley.
Hello, Wayne.
How are you?
I'm just fabulous. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Yeah, we're kind of matching today.
We are matching-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I feel like I'm matching you because we're both wearing white sweatshirts with red on them. And I just never wear white. So I'm just impressed that you're wearing white and I semi-match you.
We do semi-match.
I'm an all-black
clothing. You're rocking
kind of
some Looney Tunes. I'm rocking the Whitney Houston. Like a good gay man.
I love it. And also, this was actually a Christmas gift from me to Sierra. But, you know, it's really just for me to
me. I mean, you're married now.
That's true. What's mine hers? Is mine and what's mine is mine.
Yes, exactly.
That's exactly how it
exactly.
goes.
Exactly. So hello again,
hello,
everybody.
Yes. Hi,
and
folks.
Welcome. I think this is actually going to be the first episode with our added / new format.
New formula.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you tuned in, listened in, checked in.
If you heard
the last episode, we talked about the fact that we were going to be taking some time, or I was going to be taking some time and pulling some headlines and making sure that more people were talking about this stuff, right?
We're asking the question, why aren't more people talking about this?
Because this is shit you should care about.
That's right.
And we have always wanted this platform to feature those sorts of things. We just want to make sure that we're doing it in maybe a more efficient way.
That's right. That's a great way to describe it. I love it.
Thank you. Thank
we you clearly very much. Don't script this part of the episode. So. Yeah.
So the first of, I think we're going to try to cover three today. Well, just depending on how much time we have and whatnot. The first article that I wanted to mention is actually on NBCnews.com. And of course, that's a huge publication, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there are people out there that know about this, obviously, but I don't hear enough people talking about it.
Okay.
And I definitely think these are things that we should care about, because this is someone who was kind of on the forefront on marriage equality and like activism with regard to like that specific concern, mm-hmm. when it was still a very real specific concern for people like you and I.
Absolutely.
All right. So a gentleman by the name of George Diaz Johnston, who actually was one of, back in 2014, I'm sure that you remember this because you and I have already talked about the fact that you remember this.
Yes.
There were a total of 6 same-sex couples that sued, I think it was the Miami-Dade, like, county clerk's office, because they wouldn't issue them marriage licenses.
Mm-hmm.
They refused to issue them marriage licenses because they were same-sex couples. And at that time, thank you, Obama.
Right? Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama. At that time, this was prior to Obama giving us all marriage as a gift for Pride season that same year.
That's right.
But they fought against this. They sued. I believe it went all the way to the state Supreme Court in Florida, and they were granted ultimately the right to marry.
Snaps.
So this beautiful man who, like I said, was on the forefront of fighting for marriage equality for people like Ashley and I, at 54 years of age, just 3 days ago, was found dead in a landfill.
Yeah.
And there are some mysterious circumstances surrounding it. I guess he wasn't reported missing for several days. And then once he was reported missing, the body was found and identified relatively quickly. And the best I understand was some of the things that have come out as recently as 1 day ago.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing that true crime thing where they're looking at who first, Ashley?
Oh, the partner, of course.
The partner, the husband. Yeah.
Who's their partner and what were they doing?
Exactly. So that's all the information I think I'm going to kind of give and point out about this particular case, because I think you and I both agreed that this is one that is obviously still going to develop. We're going to find out a little bit more, and this feels like something we should do as a deep dive episode.
Absolutely.
And not just one of these, hey, this is shit you should care about.
Mm-hmm, definitely. We need to do a full deep dive. Like,
absolutely.
You said.
Absolutely. For the amazing life that he lived, the advocacy and the good work that he did. And also because I just want to know what happened.
Absolutely. Yeah,
and I
really
feel like the listeners and the folks are also going
to
want to know.
We want to know what happened. No person deserves to be taken out like trash.
Discarded just like
it's
trash,
a landfill.
Right?
It's abhorrent.
Yeah, that is an excellent 75 cent word.
Thank you.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. All right. So now I would like to talk about a missing persons case.
Okay.
That I literally hadn't heard of before.
Ooh.
And I will say, in all fairness, maybe I hadn't heard much about it because it is a case that took place in the UK. So
sure.
That's not going to make it onto our local news per se.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we have seen the entire world go crazy for certain missing persons cases.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish that the entire world went crazy for all missing persons cases.
I mean, I'll call myself out for a moment here, not to make this about me, but when we first started this, what I was looking and researching and trying to find was homosexual or queer or LGBTQIA plus whatever the term I was using, but I was looking United States murders, homicides, that kind of thing. And I never considered just to leave. Why did I leave that in there? Why does that matter? You know, so, and it wasn't until I started listening to Red Handed that I'm like, oh my God, they're talking about so many cases that like I've never ever heard of because they're looking everywhere, all over the world. It's not just, you know, what you're familiar with, which I think is something that I'm going to try to be better about for sure.
Well, I think we have evolved in that way, mm-hmm. not just podcasts, but you and I personally, I think we have evolved in that way.
Yeah.
And we are arming ourselves with knowledge, not only, I took that from you because you say it all the time and I love it. Not only knowledge of what is maybe, what are the instincts that we should trust and how should we be conducting ourselves in our day-to-day lives, but also the knowledge that there's more than just this little window
mm-hmm.
that we get to see of the world, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. There's so much more out there, and there's so many more lives who are affected.
That's right.
And one of those lives was a young man, a beautiful, beautiful man by the name of Harvey Parker. And I know that we agreed that we were going to put like our resources and whatnot in the show notes, but because I am kind of word for word taking sure. this information from the articles and from the people who wrote them and published them, I'm just going to kind of include it here. This information can actually be found within two separate articles. The first was published on January 6th of 2022 by TheGuardian.com, as well as an article published on that same date on TheGlueMagazine.com. And that information reads, a body recovered from the River Thames is that of missing 20-year-old student Harvey Parker, the Metropolitan Police have confirmed. The force was alerted to the reports of a body in the Thames near Embankment Station, Central London, by the Royal National Lifeboat Institute late on Tuesday morning, January 4th of 2022. Officers from the Met's Marine Support Unit recovered the body. Harvey Parker had last been seen on Friday, the 17th of December, after leaving the Heaven nightclub near Charing Cross Railway Station in Westminster, Central London, at about 2:15 a.m. And just a quick side note here, according to the interwebs, Heaven nightclub, quote, has a long association with London's LGBT scene and is home of the area's longest running gay night, end quote.
Sounds like heaven.
Yeah, sounds like heaven. So this is a gay bar, clearly.
Yes, obviously.
Obvi. DCI Lucy O'Connor of the Central South Command Unit said, quote, we are providing Harvey's family with all the available information. We are also asking for media to please respect the family's privacy at this challenging, difficult time, end quote.
Yeah.
CCTV footage showed Parker walking into the Craven Street and then south towards the embankment. Mm-hmm. A friend said that the University of York music student had been to a Little Sims concert in the Brixton, South London area before going to the nightclub and then, unfortunately, last being seen near the embankment of the Thames River. On Wednesday, the Met said that investigators had viewed CCTV near the Golden Jubilee Bridge and believe that Harvey Parker may have entered the water there. The force said that there was nothing to suggest from that footage that they observed that anyone else was involved in his death.
So they're just saying he just like walked out into the water?
Yeah, it feels a little weird
for
me.
How is that even possible?
It feels very like smiley face killers for me.
Oh, doesn't yeah. it? I'm like, where do I feel like I know this from? Like there's lots of like, you know, true crime stories and occultic tales where like, you know, people just randomly die in the water. But that's totally yeah. what I was thinking of.
Yeah. This is a young man who is seemingly
having
like,
drinks,
having had some drinks, who's seemingly like fit and fully capable of taking care of himself and getting from point A to point B, aka getting from the bar
yeah.
back home.
It wasn't like someone like, oh, my God, that's so crazy.
So
they're just like, okay, yeah, there's no evidence that someone else wasn't around. But
hopefully there's more of an investigation here. But they're essentially saying the CCTV, we considered it. We looked at it. We have no reason from that to believe that anyone else was involved. But hopefully they are doing a bit more investigating. And as far as I know, they haven't yet released the cause of death.
Oh,
so maybe pending the results of an autopsy.
That's fair. Maybe
if
that hasn't
there's
happened
like
yet.
Foul play suspected, then.
Or any type of like drugs or something, like
yeah.
a tox report or something.
Exactly.
Also, side note, this made me think of, we were talking about drinking. It made me think, I just recently, as of yesterday, learned that, did you know that Edgar Allan Poe like had this rare, I don't know if it was a disease or whatever, but he was like allergic to alcohol so much so that if he had one drink, he'd be inebriated. So, like, everyone just thought that he was, like, this spiraling drunk, but it was, like, he would have, like, one drink and be just wasted.
Wow.
Which had a lot to do with his death. Thank you, BuzzFeed Unsolved. But anyways.
We do love those
Isn't
boys.
That wild? What a crazy story. Could you imagine having one drink and you're schmammered? Because that's what it makes me think of here, right? Like, mm-hmm. if he had, like, a couple of drinks, he's not going to be so drunk falling down that he's going to pass out in water and not come back up. That's
yeah,
what I mean.
Just float away.
Yeah.
I don't know. Crazy. I definitely feel like there's more to this story.
There's got to be
but
more, yeah.
regardless,
This is a name we need to have out there.
Nobody's talking about this.
Why is nobody talking about this?
And before we knew, tragically, of his passing, he was just a 20-year-old queer person of color who was missing.
Yes.
And people weren't talking about it.
Yeah. No.
You know, at least not outside of like his immediate circle.
I have not even heard this and I'm ashamed. But this is what we're here for.
This is absolutely what we're here for. Unfortunately, though, after having gone missing for not quite a month, but I mean, he was a missing persons case. He was found. He was positively identified. And his family, after being notified that the body was discovered, this was shortly before, like, he was positively identified, but they were notified that someone matching the description had been found in the area that CCTV had last placed their son, etc. This is tough. His family did issue the following statement. Mm. Dear friends, family, colleagues, and everyone who loved him, we are so very sad to report that the police have recovered a body from the Thames near where our beautiful Harvey was last seen. Formal identification is underway. Our deepest thanks to all of you who searched with us, posted, shared, and supported us, as well as the Met Police in finding our Harvey. Your love and support ensured so many people knew something of the blazing, glorious person that we were lucky enough to have in our lives. Aww, isn't that just amazing?
Blazing, glorious person.
So many people have asked what they can do to help, and your asking is a testament to the number of lives Harvey touched. Harvey's friends have created a Just Giving page to support the work of the communities he was a part of. Money raised will go to young queer support groups, neurodiverse and gender diverse young people who'd benefit from emotional or mental support help, and to help support talented musicians from underrepresented communities.
Ugh.
We want to ensure that others like Harvey are able to shine as brightly. Our heartfelt thanks to you for your care and support and for respecting our privacy at this time. Amanda, Mike, and Titus.
Hi, hi, hi. Wow.
So again, this is the case of a missing person who was queer, a person of color, not neurotypical, and potentially didn't identify as the sex they were assigned at birth. And I can't help but wonder if some of those things contributed to the fact that this case didn't receive international attention the way that some other cases have.
I mean, why would sound reasoning? I mean,
yeah.
I'm with you.
And this is shit you people should know.
Yeah. Why are not more people talking about this?
Absolutely. And next, I would like to discuss a beautiful woman by the name of Catherine, a.k.a. Katie. We're going to say Janesse, like Van Ness.
Okay, I can, yeah.
But with a J.
Okay.
And her dog, Bowie.
Oh, Bowie.
This information is contained within an article that was written by Cheryl McCollum. It was published on crimeonline.com, and that publication was dated November 17th of 2021.
Okay.
It was a warm summer night in the South when Catherine, a.k.a. Katie Janesse, decided to take her dog Bowie for a walk at Atlanta's famous Piedmont Park. Katie's girlfriend Emma was working down the street from the park as a bartender, so Katie stopped by to say hello and to let Emma visit with Bowie, visit with the doggy. There were a few folks inside the bar and sitting inside a neighboring restaurant. Others were outside biking, walking, jogging, or walking their own dogs even. This was a typical scene for Atlanta's Midtown neighborhood, and I'm not sure if you've ever been to Midtown Atlanta, but it is traditionally known to be a very gay-friendly spot.
Okay, yeah. Okay. No, I've only been to, like, downtown Atlanta.
Piedmont Park is Atlanta's version of Central Park. On any given day, you can see lovers having a picnic, partaking in yoga classes, and other people just enjoying other areas of the parks or checking out places where movie scenes were shot, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh.
Parkgoers can view an occasional wedding there, just a lot of activity within this place. But something evil awaited Katie and Bowie inside the park that night.
No.
Something sinister and ungodly. Emma says she got off work and rode her bike home, and Katie was not there. Katie should have been there, and she should have been done walking Bowie by the time Emma got home. Emma called Katie's cell phone, but she got no answer. Emma says she then sent several text messages that also went unanswered and unread.
Ugh, biggest fear.
Emma says Katie had several different routes that she took Bowie whenever they went on a walk, so she used the Find My iPhone app to locate Katie's phone.
Good.
It showed that Katie's cell phone was about 100 yards inside the park, but it was not moving. Emma thought maybe Katie had dropped her phone and that's why it was in that one specific location in the park, or that's why she wasn't answering it or responding to text messages. So she then went to the park and entered. And as soon as she did, she immediately saw Bowie laying in the middle of the cement path.
No.
Content warning. This is animal abuse and cruelty.
Oh, my God.
As Emma approached Bowie, she could see that the dog was deceased. She continued down into the park towards the air quotes dot that the GPS locator was showing that Katie's cell phone was in that location, which was about 100 feet from where Bowie had been found. Emma then saw Katie lying on the ground. She rushed over to check her pulse, but it was clear that Katie was dead. This attack had to have started right after Katie entered the park where Bowie was found, which suggests that Bowie attempted to defend his owner and was killed in the process.
Oh, Bowie.
Katie likely tried to run away, but only made it about 100 steps before the killer caught up with her. According to the autopsy, Katie died due to sharp force injuries to her face, neck, and torso that caused injuries of major blood vessels and internal organs. She had numerous cuts and stab wounds to her hands. These, of course, were identified as defensive wounds because the victim would have been trying to stop the attacker from stabbing her face, chest, and vital areas. Ugh. The autopsy report, rather, revealed that Katie had been stabbed over 50 times.
Jeez.
Yeah. The killer also took the time to carve letters into Katie's torso. The letters F-A-T. Carving letters or words into a victim are often for psychological gratification of the killer. This action has nothing to do with the actual act of the murder itself.
Yeah. Oh, God.
It's kind of one of those like weird ritualistic.
I was going to say it's like a ritual.
Things.
It's something that you have seen or you've decided is something that you like doing. It's part of the ritual.
And also, when I first read that, I wondered if the T was intended to be a T. You know what I mean? Like, if you're carving something into, I don't know. Like, in my mind, I'm going, was this supposed to be F-A-G? Was this a hate crime?
Could be.
You know what I
mean?
That's
a good point.
Because, I mean, if you see pictures of this lovely woman, like, she's not someone you look at
and say that particular word.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. She's not someone who that would be on the forefront of my observations about her. Definitely not.
Oh, you could be right there. Yeah.
Makes you wonder, especially if it's an area known to, like, you know, have
that.
People
and also,
from the
yeah,
community.
You could just be stalking, waiting for an opportunity because they hate queer people. And also, like, how easy would it be to literally carve a word with a knife, let alone on somebody's skin? So I could see that
It's just my thought process.
I can see that. Yeah, I see that.
Former medical examiner and forensics investigator Joe Scott Morgan said, according to the autopsy report, Katie was alive while these letters were carved into her body. The hemorrhaging of these wounds was anti-mortem, meaning that they occurred before her death. Joe Scott Morgan has worked on thousands of homicide cases, from domestic cases to serial killers, and said this is of the more sinister cases he's seen.
I'd say so.
Morgan goes on further to say that the killer would have had to have been saturated in blood. I mean, it's kind of like a duh moment, right? Stab someone over 50 times.
Yeah.
And you're in a public place doing this.
That's in the back of my mind this whole time. I'm just waiting for the opportunity to say it. Like, you mentioned how many people were around and how busy this place is and how big it is. And it's just wild.
It is crazy. And he also went into further detail describing that with the types of wounds that were inflicted, the killer had to have been using a medical tool or a multi-edged weapon, which gave me pause. Mm-hmm. Like, I know what a surgical instrument is, obviously,
sure, yeah.
But like a multi-edged weapon, would that be like a two-bladed instrument, maybe like a blade on both sides?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
That's what I, because that means it would have to be sharp enough to carve something like that. So like something that's like a medical tool, like a scalpel would be sharp enough, or like a knife that has double blades on each side, not like a steak knife that's only on one side. That's bad example, but
I mean, it's a good example because everybody knows what a steak knife looks like, right? A snake knife. This murderer also took extra unnecessary time with the victim. According to the adjunct professor of forensic psychology, whose name is Stephanie Scott Snyder, there were obvious signs of overkill with sexual targeting and mutilation, which is common in attacks committed by sexual sadists.
Sure.
When asked what she wants from the Atlanta PD, Emma Clark, the victim's partner, says she wants them to tell people that she is not a suspect. Greer reached out to the APD and they gave her the following statement. The investigation into the murder of Catherine Jeunesse remains open and very active. Our investigators continue working tirelessly to find the person or persons responsible. We understand that it is frustrating for there to be so little information released publicly. However, to ensure the investigation isn't compromised, we simply cannot release much information in our active investigation. We know how important this case is to those in our communities, and we will continue our work to bring this investigation to a resolution, Clark told Greer. And Clark also mentioned that she has been receiving death threats from people who think she's responsible for the murder. She even bought herself a gun for her own safety, stating that someone called my phone, left a voicemail, and that's not okay. She called me some choice words and said I would be caught, and I sent it to the police.
I mean, good for you, at least.
Yeah,
I mean,
good for her.
That's scary.
It is scary.
Wow.
Also, according to Clark, she and the Atlanta CSI walked the scene at the exact time the murder would have occurred. It was dark, but there was enough illumination from the streetlights provided to be able to see clearly what was going on as you navigate your walk through the park. Any witness that would have come along could have easily seen what was taking place.
Thank you.
Yeah. Karen Greer, the CSI expert, said, you can hear people at a nearby restaurant talking and laughing, but somehow no one reported hearing screams that night,
mm-hmm.
which, I mean, right?
Right.
So they go on further to speculate, does this mean that her throat was cut first? Was she fighting for her life and could not scream? Did she know her killer? Is there a serial killer on the loose? We don't have all the answers, yet we do know several things for sure. The Atlanta Police Department have worked tirelessly day and night to try and solve this murder. They brought in the FBI's BAU for assistance. Literally, the best in the world is working on this case. But despite that, Atlanta for sure has a killer on the loose who can murder at a sinful level of twisted, wicked evilness, and that murderer needs to be caught.
It does feel a bit serial killer-y to me.
It feels serial killer-y. It feels hate crime-y.
Definitely that.
It feels like a crime of passion.
Yeah, regardless of what the word was supposed to say, whether this person got it right or that it was misshapen, it's still a hate crime, no matter how you slice it. If that's the reason you're killing this person, no matter what the word was, like, it's on your mind. And I wonder if, yeah, we're going to have to, like, keep this in our queue because I hope nothing else happens like that. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
It does feel very ritualistic in a way of, like, maybe if you did that, you might do it again. And I hope that does not happen. This is brutal.
Yeah.
I'm blown away. It's so
sad. Police are not obviously investigating the wife or partner or girlfriend. It doesn't sit super well with me that when she was approached.
That's what I'm saying. I'm
asked,
like, maybe they should be though.
What's the one thing you would ask of Atlanta PD? This is an unsolved case. It's not immediately find her killer, bring her justice.
It's I'm not a suspect.
Get people off my back. I'm not a suspect. Now, that's complete speculation.
Yes.
As someone who has never been considered the murderer of their partner.
That's fair.
It's complete speculation that that's how I would react or feel or respond. But it just doesn't sit well with
me. It's just weird. I mean, we do say all the time that you can't judge a person by how they grieve or what happens, but that's why I repeated it when you said it, because I'm just, what?
Yeah.
Why would that be the first thing that you say? I don't like that.
There, nothing that I read mentioned that she was a suspect, and she was at work, so I imagine there have to be
That's true.
like records or some sort of proof indicating that, like video surveillance, something.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings me to the end of that story. And I wrote it up a little bit like this. And no person beyond a psycho or sociopath would disagree that this story, that these words aren't completely tragic, right? But as the old saying goes, a picture is worth a thousand words. And the thing that broke slash breaks my heart the absolute most about this entire story is that if you look it up, Katie Janess and her dog Bowie were last spotted on surveillance cameras crossing the Rainbow Crosswalk intersection of the 10th Street and Piedmont Road that leads into the park. So this is like a pride crosswalk, and it's literally her and her dog walking across this rainbow crosswalk. And for some reason, like it was literally moments before they'd have both been murdered. And for some reason, I tear up every time I see it.
Yeah, that's like, it's like symbolism in a terrible form, but it's also so sweet that that's the last like image you'll see of them. You know, it's just, that's gut-wrenching.
And in the event that anyone is wondering or curious, according to Fox5Atlanta.com, there are, in fact, security cameras also located inside the park.
Yes, I was wondering if we were going to get there.
But they do not work.
Oh, they're just for show.
Quote, due to outdated technology. And they left them up because they thought just those cameras being there.
Oh, yeah. I've worked places
might
where, they
be
do,
a deterrent.
Where they do that. Yeah.
That is complete.
Attention. The bullshit meter has detected major BS. Confirmed. That's definitely some bullshit.
If everyone in my neighborhood can afford to have a Ring doorbell camera, you can afford to put up some fucking surveillance.
And it also, for me, begs the question, so is the murderer someone who knows?
Who knew that?
That information?
I knew the end of that sentence before you got there, but I didn't know it when you started it.
Yeah.
Like, I know I'm with you, though. That's a good point.
Yeah. So,
man,
that's some shit people should know.
What a sad, sad day of recording. I mean, it's always sad, but these are just tragic. And it's like, when you don't know the answer. And we've done so many cases now that we don't know the answer. But
yeah. And hopefully there will be some updates in these cases, and I'll have the option or the opportunity at some point to give the update.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, hopefully we get to do bigger episodes on the things that we cover with your episodes that you're reporting, because that's kind of the goal. It's like, well, we don't have much on this now. It's new, but let's talk about it. And hopefully we'll learn more in the future.
Yeah.
So, thank you for that.
Yes. So folks, know this, talk about this.
Yes.
Tell people about this case.
Tell people about all the cases.
Absolutely.
Get the names out there. Get some information, hopefully.
Yeah.
And it must be hard. You talked about the police department saying we're only releasing certain information. It must be hard because we sit back and we're like, man, if they would have just released this, you know, they could have found that. But again, it must be hard to know what to put out and what not to. Like, what's going to help and what's going to hinder?
Yeah.
What's going to make some crazy person, for lack of a better term, just call and be like, oh, it was me, because they have too much information now and it's not the right person. It's hard, man. Yeah, that's that on that. Thank you for telling us about those things, though. It's why are not more people talking about this?
This is shit you people should know. I'm going to keep saying it over and over and over again.
That's right.
As well as thank you, Ashley.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you so much to the Queens, Kings, and folks
who
have tuned in yet again.
Yes.
And we would hope that you would
go out and slay queens.
Go out and slay queens. Just not
each other.
Not each other.
Not your partner.
Not your partner.
Not anybody.
Not people's dogs.
Just leave the dog. Poor little Bowie.
Ugh. Oh. Bye, folks.
Bye.
I'm going away, but I won't come back on a lonesome railroad line. But I can't forget that sweet little girl to sleep in the pines, in the pines.